Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry emphasizing God's unconditional love and grace. Today, Andrew explains how to trust in God regardless of the circumstances. Now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Tuesday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today, I'm continuing a series that I started yesterday, and I've entitled this series, In God We Trust. This is a brand new teaching I have out, and I specifically made this teaching to counter the fear and the panic and the gross unbelief that is being put forth today about the financial situation, not only here in the U.S., but all around the world. I just returned from a trip in Europe, and I guarantee you over there, that was the headlines. They are crying that the sky is falling. Chicken Little is alive and well and predicting the end of the world as we know it. And there are people that are making wrong decisions, and they are recoiling in fear, and they are beginning to get out of faith and starting to operate in fear. And it's wrong. It's just wrong. Now, again, I can't always control the unbelievers. I can't control all of the believers, but God has given me a voice, and I just felt compelled of God to counter some of the foolishness that we are seeing today and from a biblical perspective and to counter this. And so yesterday I gave some introduction to this, and I talked about this a little bit, but I'm going to be talking later in the week about Isaac, who sowed in a year of famine, a time when most people would not be sowing, and he received a hundredfold return. That's out of Genesis chapter 26, verse 12. It says, "Then Isaac sowed in that land and received in the same year a hundredfold, and the Lord blessed him." Now, this was in a crisis time. It was during a drought. It was during a famine. And it was a time that most people weren't even sowing. What was the use? There wasn't any water. There wasn't any rain. The crops wouldn't make it. Many people were operating in fear, but Isaac got a word from God, and he prospered a hundredfold. It's hard to receive a hundredfold return when there's rain and it's a good economy and everything's going great. But to receive a hundredfold in a drought is just amazing, and it catapulted Isaac into a position of blessing that he had never been before. It's just a few verses later that Abimelech said unto him in verse 16, "Abimelech said unto Isaac, Go from us, for thou art much mightier than we." And Isaac was literally expelled from a nation because this one man had more goods and wealth than the entire nation all put together. And you know how that came? During a time of crisis, during a time when everybody else was operating in fear. You know, if you were to go back through history, it's during the hard times, it's during downturns in economy that most millionaires really make their money. Because while other people are selling off and getting rid of their assets and they're operating in fear and panicking, you have some people who recognize that this is just temporary, that things are going to turn around, and they start taking advantage of this situation. And this is where most millionaires rise up, is through hard times. They are buying things for just a fraction of what they are worth because they're operating in faith while everybody else is panicking. And I'm telling you that for the Christian, I'm not just talking about a good business decision here, but I'm talking about from a Christian perspective. Our hope should be so in God. Our faith should be so in God that even though we are a part of this world, and even though we have money and we have to use wisdom and we have to invest and we have to deal with things in this world, we should not panic. We should not have our trust in this world system so that if it, you know, has a hiccup, that if there is a bump in the road, that we just cave in and begin to start operating in fear. There ought to be a difference between the way Christians talk about this financial situation and the way unbelievers talk about it. And yet it has really disappointed me to see Christians who are just throwing up their hands and panicking exactly the way that the unbelievers have panicked. This ought not to be. So on our program yesterday, I began to start using Genesis chapter 26, verse 1, and it's a real simple statement, but it says there was a famine in the land besides the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And I pointed out that this isn't just filler in this verse, there's a reason for this scripture pointing out that there had been a previous famine. And I believe that the point of this is that if you put things into perspective, if you realize there's been downturns before and there will be downturns again, and we've survived them, we've come through things much harder than this, then it puts things into perspective and it keeps you from panicking and operating in the fear and the unbelief that other people are operating in. I gave a lot of statistics. There are people that have been comparing this financial crisis with the Great Depression, and there really is no comparison. There is no close comparison. The Great Depression was infinitely worse. Unemployment rate was 25%. And, you know, I made a mistake on this yesterday. I know somebody's going to call me on this. Somebody's going to criticize me and stuff. The point that I was making was accurate. I was looking at a different paragraph here, and I said that the unemployment rate in August of 2008 was 4.4%. In the U.S., actually, it was 6.1. I looked at the wrong line. But you know what? My comparison is accurate. And that is that the unemployment rate during the Great Depression was like more than three times as high. Even in 1982, there was a 10.8% unemployment rate. What I was looking at, and I want to bring this point out, is that, you know, there has been a mortgage foreclosure rate that has been really precipitated most of this financial situation. Banks made bad loans, risky loans. The foreclosure rate has been exceedingly high, and that's what precipitated all of these banks closing, and then the stock market crashed, and this whole global crisis really came out of the mortgage industry. And during the Great Depression, there was a 50% mortgage failure rate. People that could not keep their mortgage going and they got their houses repossessed. In August of 2008, the mortgage foreclosure rate in the U.S. was 4.4%. Now, I'm reading this straight from here, so I know that this one is correct. And the point is that, see, some people are saying, oh, this is the worst situation. I've actually heard and read some articles where people say this is the worst mortgage crisis that we've ever had. Again, the Great Depression was 50% failure rate in mortgages. In August of 2008, it was 4.4%. It may have increased with some of these things that have happened, but still, it's probably going to be around 5%, maybe 6% at a maximum. There is a huge difference between a 6% failure rate and a 50% failure rate. I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, we are having things blown out of proportion, amplified, lied is what it really amounts to, for the purpose of selling and drawing ratings and getting attention, and it's causing fear of the heart of people, and it is not that bad. Now, I am not saying that there isn't problems, but I'm saying that this world system is always going to have highs and lows. This is not the collapse that many people are prophesying it to be, and all of these stats that I'm giving, I believe, bear that out. The unemployment rate is just one-third to one-fourth of what it was during the Great Depression. The mortgage foreclosure rate is less than one-tenth of what it was. And let me just add this little statement right here, that you know what? There needs to be major change in the mortgage industry because there were these risky loans made. There were laws passed where there was preference given to people who were in minority groups, and there were laws passed that gave incentives to all of these mortgage companies to make bad loans that they shouldn't have ever made in the first place. And so there, you know, I don't have the exact statistics on this, but I've heard, and since then somebody has backed off of this, and so I don't know that we can say an exact number. But anyway, there are at least thousands, maybe tens of thousands, of illegal aliens in the United States that were given mortgages. Now, that should have never happened. There are people that never qualified. There were people that were getting these loans where there was no principal payments whatsoever. It was only interest payments. Now, that, excuse me for being blunt, but that is stupid. I know some people are going to criticize me for this and say, you don't know my plight and stuff. People who cannot make any principal payments on their loan should not be getting a loan. I just saw something on the way in today, and it was about these modular homes, and it says no payments for 2 years and no interest for 2 years. They were going to let you have a modular home for 2 years with no payments and stuff. Now, that shouldn't happen. You know, somebody is having to expense the money. You are getting a product, and there ought to be some payments. Now, I can understand taking advantage of a good deal and stuff, but a deal where they promise you that it's, you know, no payments and you can get a house and you don't have to make any principal payments. All you do is just pay the interest. Man, you are digging yourself a hole. That kind of stuff should have never happened. There needs to be an adjustment in the market. This is actually a positive thing. It's going to straighten out some problems. If you want to talk about an economic crisis, you really should go back for the next three, for the previous 3 or 4 years where the Congress in the United States was passing laws and giving incentives to people to, you know, to artificially, pump up the economy, to make it look better, to show all of this activity. But they were bad loans. They were people that were getting houses that were making no payments and all of these kind of things. That was the crisis when people started making unsound business deals. You know, let me just make some statements here that there are people that are so gullible that they fall for these tricks and these things. I guarantee I'm not going to get specific here, but I could. That people are always offering me these extended things, and do you want this and want this and want this? And they're giving you these credit cards, and they're giving you the low introductory offer. And I've actually had Christians come up to me before who were praying about their financial situation, and they just didn't see any way out. And then they get a credit card application in the mail that says, you are already pre-approved, and you've got zero interest for 6 months. And they say, this is God. God answered my prayer. You know, let me just be as blunt as I can be. That is not God that is giving you a zero interest credit card, because at the end of that 6 months, then the rates bump up to where they are higher than the normal credit card rates. Again, I don't have these stats in front of me, but I'm sure that most of you have heard and seen these things before, that if you were to take an average person and take their amount of money they charge on a credit card, and if all you do is make the minimum payment and you don't ever pay against the principal, all you're doing is paying the interest and the minimum payment, it could take something like 20 or 30 years to dig yourself out of a $5,000 debt on a credit card. That's just ludicrous. It's stupid. Nobody in their right mind should do those kind of things. And yet this has become the practice. As a matter of fact, you know, when I was over in Russia recently, we talked about all kinds of things, trying to understand the difference between that culture and my culture and all of these different things. And our Bible college students who've lived over there now for 9 years, and they were over there about the time that, you know, the Berlin Wall was coming down and Russia was just beginning to start getting some capitalism and beginning to get into a different economy. And they've seen the prices increase, I don't know, 100 or 1,000%. It's just a huge increase. Some of the characterizations are the way that the interpreters, the Russians who are dealing with our students and things over there, some of the things that they said are that, you know, there are kids being raised today who their parents had no such thing as credit. There was no such thing as buying things on credit, and they lived without. Now, here come their kids that for the last 10 years or so have been raised under a, you know, a semi-capitalistic government where there are things available. There is getting to be competition and ads and stuff like this. And they said one of the big problems is that these parents who never had anything under communism, now anything that you want is in Russia and you can get it on credit, and they are just maxing their credit out, digging themselves a hole they're never going to get out of. The children are being raised on this kind of a mindset that you can have anything and that you can get it all on credit. And they have thrown away any sense of responsibility and accountability. And they said that, you know, there is a crisis looming. It's not hit in Russia the way that it is right here, but it is a crisis building because there's a whole generation being raised on this debt mentality. Same thing has been done in the Western world, in the United States. And I'm telling you, a lot of what we see happening right now is happening because people were using unsound business practices, making loans that they shouldn't ever have made, and there needs to be a correction. Did you know that the housing industry, the prices of houses have just gone through the roof? Like right here, just in the Colorado Springs area, we have seen the price on houses escalate dramatically. Again, I'm not qualified to be telling you the exact numbers, but I can guarantee you it's gone up just dramatically in the last 10 or 15 years. Part of this is because we've had a huge influx of ministries come in, bringing hundreds and thousands of employees with them, and they were coming from California where the property values were very high compared to Colorado. They saw this as a bargain and they were paying top dollar. Actually, some people would bid on a house and somebody else wanted it so badly they would bid and increase the bid above. And because of this, property values have gone up and up and up, and it's gone up artificially. It's gone up unrealistically, and there has to be a correction. And so, again, I'm not saying that there isn't a problem, but I'm saying that it is not near the problem that it is being amplified and dramatized to by the news media, and it actually is a good correction. And for people who have sound business financial principles and haven't mortgaged their life to the hilt, this is a great time to be taking advantage of things. Just like Isaac here in Isaiah chapter 26, it was a year of famine. And because of this, there were people that weren't even planting their crops. There were people that were saying, "What's the use?" There were people that were just giving up. There were people that were going down into Egypt. Now, see, that's what Isaac's father, Abraham, did during a famine one time in the land. He went down into Egypt. Egypt, of course, had the Nile River coming through, and they had this irrigation system where they irrigated all of this land. And so, in a sense, Egypt was nearly famine-proof. Not totally, because during the days of Joseph, they had a famine. But I'm saying that compared to the nations around, they were going to prosper when other nations didn't prosper. And so there's a lot of people that during a year of famine, they just take off and do whatever they think they've got to do to be able to survive. And so there's people that left that land. There's people that let their fields go idle. There was certainly a decrease in crops and in productivity because it was during a famine and people were either, fleeing that land and going where they thought they could prosper. They weren't planting their crops. And during this time, this is a wonderful time for a person who's a believer and has a covenant with God to prosper because everybody else is not sowing their fields. What's the use? It's a great time. Isaac got a word from God. Look at this. The Lord said to Isaac in Genesis chapter 26, the Lord appeared unto him and said, "Go not down into Egypt, dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of." Let me again point out that going into Egypt where there was plenty and there was lots of food, that would have been the equivalent of what people are doing today when they are just cashing out. They are leaving their investments. They are panicking. There are people that are withdrawing their money from the banks and putting it in their under their mattresses and hiding it in places. You know, that's not rational. Again, I know that some people are going to think that, you know, you're a preacher. You have no business making comments on these kind of things. But I'm saying it is irrational. A lot of the things that people are doing today, but they aren't seeking the will of the Lord. They aren't asking what God wants them to do. They're just reading the newspapers. They're listening to the broadcast. They hear a friend did this. And so they're doing all of these things that are panic-driven, fear-driven, and they are going to lose out. You know, if you take your money out of a CD or out of the bank, even in a savings account, that's not a huge interest, but at least it's appreciating, it's making something, it's doing something. And yet there's people that are just in panic taking their money out of these institutions. You know, back during the Great Depression, there was no FDIC program from the government. Deposits weren't insured. But now they are. They just increased the deposit in insurance from 1,000 up to, from 100,000 to 250,000. It's not the same situation as during the Depression when there was a run on banks and over 20,000 banks in the United States failed and people lost their money. It's not the same situation. And yet people are doing things like that. See, in Isaac's day, there were people that just saw that there was a hard time, that there was a famine, and so, man, they were panicking. They were going to Egypt. They were just giving up. They were letting their fields lay idle. What a great opportunity for Isaac. And he got a word from the Lord. Did you know that the Lord doesn't just appear to everyone? That's kind of a random, seldom occurrence. And I believe personally that there's a reason why God does miracles in some people's lives and doesn't do miracles in other people's lives. It's not said here, but I'm reading between the lines. I believe that Isaac, instead of just panicking like everyone else, instead of just heading to Egypt, which was the logical, probably the sensible, reasonable thing to do by the world standards, Isaac was listening to God. Isaac was seeking, God, what do you want me to do? And God spoke to him. You know, I'm encouraging you right now, instead of listening to the panic of this world, instead of operating in fear, instead of doing things that you don't feel good about, but you feel pressured into it, I've got to do it, you need to seek God. You need to hear from God. This is one of the greatest opportunities for the believers to prosper and to see God bless them, because other people are running scared. We can operate in faith, and I guarantee you this is a great time for Christians to be alive. This is not the end of the world as we know it, the way that it has been told. There have been famines before. There will be famines again. There's been financial crisis before. There will be financial crisis again. The world system goes up and down because it's an imperfect system. And all you hear, the unbelievers are the ones that have control of the media, and they are pushing the panic button. But remember that the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. This is a great time for Christians to be using their faith and be using their head instead of operating out of their emotions and panic. And I tell you, there needs to be a correction. We need to make sure that we are trusting in God and not in just this world system. Boy, there are some powerful things to say here. You know, I'm going to continue this series on my program tomorrow, and I'm going to be going into some greater detail on this. But let me just point out that you need to grab hold of your emotions. You need to put things into perspective. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 17 and 18, Paul said he just had a light affliction, not because he didn't have problems, but because of the way he viewed it. Paul was beaten, shipwrecked, stoned, put in prison. He had terrible things happen, and yet he was able to say, it's just a light affliction. If Paul could say that about his situation, then how can we come off talking about this crisis situation and how bad everything is and panicking and speaking all the unbelief that's being spoken? I'm telling you, this is not a Christian response to this situation. We need to grab hold of our emotions and respond the way the Lord wants us to. And that's the reason I've made this brand new teaching entitled, In God We Trust. I encourage you to listen to our announcer, let him give you this information, and call or write and get these materials, and then join me again tomorrow as we continue the gospel truth.
Andrew's teaching titled, In God We Trust, is available in a two-part CD album, or it's available in a DVD album made from Andrew's daily TV broadcast. Each is available for a gift of any amount. Request CD album T1059C or DVD album T1059D when you contact the ministry. Your gifts help pay for the cost of this program. They're very important to us, and we thank you. The first teaching in the audio CD album titled The Sky Is Not Falling is also available for a gift of any amount. We encourage everyone to send a gift. But if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this first CD free of charge. Request teaching number TO21C when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you.
You know, it seems like a lot of people are talking about the economic crisis that we are in today, and it's a conversation piece that believers, unbelievers, everybody's talking about it. And this teaching that I've got entitled, In God We Trust, could be something that would not only affect you, but this could be a tremendous way of taking the peace and your faith and your confidence that you have in God and sharing it with another person. It could be an open door. You could say, well, here's a Christian perspective on the way that we view finances and the way we trust God to meet our needs. And I think it would be a tremendous help to you. So it would help you, but it would also help you to be a blessing to someone else. Please listen and please call or write today and request these materials.
You can reach us through our website where you can order ministry materials online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. On our website, you'll not only find materials from today's broadcast, you'll find a wealth of resources free for you to download for yourself and share with others. Or you can use your credit card to order by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline hours are from 4 a.m. until 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. If you prefer to write to us, our address is Andrew Womack Ministries, Box 3333, Colorado Springs, 80934. We hope to hear from you today.
I want to give you a special invitation to join me on January the 1st, 2nd, and 3rd in Phoenix, Arizona. We have struck a deal with the Arizona Biltmore Resort. It's a four-diamond resort that starts. The normal room rates start from $300 and go up from there. And we've negotiated a price of $139 for this special New Year's celebration. They're going to give that price for 3 days before and 3 days after. So you can come and enjoy a vacation in a first-class resort, plus get the Word of God. Remember, it's our Phoenix, Arizona Gospel Truth Seminar, January 1st, 2nd, and 3rd in Phoenix, Arizona.
We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be at the Arizona Biltmore Resort in Phoenix for a Gospel Truth Seminar January 1st through the 3rd and in Colorado Springs for the annual Charis Bible College Men's Advance February 5th through the 7th. He'll also be in Houston, Texas February 12th through the 14th, Atlanta, Georgia, March 5th through the 7th, and in Colorado Springs for the Charis Bible College weekend, March 12th through the 14th. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net.
I want to thank those of you who are partners with our ministry and for the way that you've helped us to reach out. And you know, we are literally impacting about one-third of the world's population can get this program, and that's because of our partners. But you know what? There's more. There's other people that have never heard these programs. We need to increase, and I'd like to ask you to consider giving in a time of famine. Other people may be drawing back, but man, I'm stretching out. I believe it's our opportunity, and I'm going to receive 100-fold for the effort that I'm putting into this, and I'd like you to be a part of it. So we have our web address, also our phone number there. I encourage you to call and become a partner today.